Our scripture reading this evening is found in the Epistle to the Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The author has been explaining the importance of faith, how the just shall live by faith. Now he goes on to give his description of faith in this chapter. So Hebrews chapter 11, the Epistle to the Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were shorn of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he came of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the enemies. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And we trust God's blessing to rest on the reading of his most holy and precious word. And this evening, our attention will be directed particularly to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 22. That is, speaking of Abraham and the patriarchs. Abraham, of course, is the great man of faith. In the Bible, he is the father of the faithful, the father of all who believe, the father of faith. And these men give a picture of the believer as the one who is passing through this world, whose citizenship is in heaven, and the one who is passing through this world as a stranger and a pilgrim. A picture of those who live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And this is what it means to live by faith. It involves confessing that we are strangers and pilgrims in the world. Faith's sphere, our author has told us in the first verse of this chapter, is the future and the unseen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the sphere of faith is the future and the unseen. Now he is writing to Hebrew Christians who are being persecuted, who are suffering in this world, and he is encouraging them to keep on looking to the future and looking to things that are unseen. And he says, look, you're Jews, and all of Jewish history is ours in Christ. And here are the people who are your forefathers. And they are our forefathers. You have not ceased to be Hebrews by becoming Christians, but you are in fact fulfilled Jews. You were looking for Messiah, now you have Messiah. And so he points to the patriarchs, and we see four things about faith in the patriarchs. First of all, we see faith's foundations. Secondly, we see faith's pilgrims. Thirdly, faith's persuasion. Finally, faith's forward look. We have faith's foundations. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. And this is, of course, a story that would be familiar to every one of the people reading this. Basic story of Israelite identity, which is we are Abraham's children. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, Genesis 12 verse 1, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. God did not say to the land of Canaan, he said simply to a land I will show you. Abraham had absolutely no idea where he was going. Absolutely no idea. God simply said, get up and go to a land that I will show you. He didn't know where the land was. He didn't know which direction he was going to have to travel in, though God told him. He simply knew he'd go to a land. He didn't know if it was like. But he heard God say, get up and go to this land. And he got up and he went. Faith is based in the spoken word of God, what God has said It is taking God at his word. God came to Abraham and said, do this. And Abraham said, I go. And he went. Faith is founded on what God says. The God who speaks, the God who is there and he is not silent. And when God speaks, the believer acts. So by faith he went out not knowing where he was going. And by faith he dwelt in the land when he got there, as in a foreign country. Abraham did not own one square inch of Canaan. He had no house, he had tents. Now he knew it was given to him by God, but he had no title deeds, nothing he could show the locals to say this is my land. And the only land he ever owned, humanly speaking, was a burial plot, in which, of course, first of all, he buried Sarah, his wife, and secondly, he himself was buried. And he owned nothing else. He lived as in a foreign country, as somebody who had left his own land and gone to another. Now, Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldeans. And the city of Ur has, of course, been discovered. If you go to the British Museum, you can see a whole room full of things they found in Ur. It was an incredibly advanced civilization. It was a civilization that had the most beautiful artwork, a civilization that had a very well-developed economy, beautiful houses, and Abraham gave it all up. He left one of the most advanced civilizations in the world to live the life of a nomad in tents, because God said, get up and go to the land. He gave up everything the world had to offer for the promise of God, because God had spoken. And God had told him that he would have a child. Now, Abraham was married, but his wife was unable to have children. And yet God said, you will have a son. And of course we know he went to this false stratagem of having a concubine, effectively a second wife, his wife's maidservant, and that worked out disastrously, led to all kinds of friction in the family, as of course having a second wife must for any man. But then God said, no, I will give you a son by Sarah. And we are told that he and Sarah believed by faith. Sarah herself also received strength, conceived seed, and she bore a child. Sarah believed. Now, the story is in Genesis 18, and we have the account of this appearance of God to Abraham. And we pick up the story in Genesis 18, verse 9. Then they, the three men, one of whom is the Lord, the other two angels, said to him, where is Sarah your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah your wife will have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in years, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. And even when she had been in the age of childbearing, she had been unable to have children, unable to conceive. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. At first she didn't believe, but then she did. God said to her, is anything too hard for the Lord? And obviously she said within herself then, well, no, actually, God can do anything. And I was mistaken. See, faith is not easy all the time. Very often the Christian has to cry out with the Father in the Gospels, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Very often we are found struggling with doubts, as Sarah was, and yet Sarah believed. She came to an assurance of faith and found that God is true to his promises, that God is able to do abundantly more than all we ask or imagine. So faith's foundation is trusting the word of God. And then we have the pilgrims of faith. These all died in faith. They died in faith. And the emphasis there is that they went on believing all their lives. Faith's sphere is the future and the unseen. They were looking for the fulfillment of a promise that none of them ever saw fulfilled. Indeed, of course, when Jacob died, he died in Egypt. And when his son Joseph died, he died in Egypt. The people were not even in the land. And that, incidentally, is the word that the Jews used to speak of what we call the land of Israel, the land of Palestine. They just call it the land. You may on the radio news or the TV news have heard mention of the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. Haaretz is the Hebrew word for the land. And that is the Israeli equivalent of the Times. And they just call their main newspaper the land, because it's all about the land, what goes on in Israel. But these people had received the promise of the land, but they hadn't got the land. But these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And only faith can see the things, the promises that are afar off. They were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We are passing through. In one sense, this is our Father's world. In another sense, we are just passing through, because, of course, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. We have our time on the earth, and are then called to the heavenly realm. They were looking for what they had not yet received. They were like Bunyan's pilgrim, looking for the celestial city, travelling forward to the celestial city, and that city is a city that is yet to come. It's a city that is not on the earth at the moment, although it's a city that will be on the earth. We see that, of course, in Revelation chapter 21, first couple of verses. John tells us, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away," and the heavens and the earth is the Hebrew way of speaking of the universe. It encompasses everything. "Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And that is the city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem that comes down from God out of heaven. Now here were people who were looking for a homeland, then looking for a homeland. And our author reminds us, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. Abraham could have gone back to Ur of the Chaldeans. Isaac could have gone back to Ur of the Chaldeans. Jacob did indeed go back to Syria, but he left as soon as he could. He could have stayed with Laban the Syrian, instead of which he did everything in his power to leave, and of course eventually he escapes by night because he's afraid that his father-in-law will make him stay. He is so determined not to stay in Syria but to go to the land. They desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. patriarchs had a city prepared for them. And indeed, one of the most common titles for God in the Old Testament is the God of Jacob. Now you think of Jacob. What was Jacob? He was a twister. He was a dishonest man. He was a man who tricked his brother out of the inheritance. And yet God appears to Moses in Exodus chapter 6 verse 3. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac and to Jacob. He is not ashamed to be called their God, the God of Jacob, because he is the one Jacob was looking to, because he is the one they were all believing in, and because they had faith, and they were those who did diligently seek God, he rewards them. So faith's pilgrims are those who are travelling through this world looking for the city of God. So we come to faith's persuasion. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. You know the story. This story is given to us in Genesis chapter 22. And the account is given. God comes to Abraham and says, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And so Abraham does precisely what God says. He takes his son Isaac and brings him to the land of Moriah, and at the bottom of the mountain he speaks to his servants who have come with him, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Now he's referred to the lad. We would call him a teenager. We will come back to you, says Abraham. And yet he's going to offer his sons a sacrifice. So how is he able to say, we will come back? Well, our author of Hebrews explains. Abraham reasoned like this. God has told me that in Isaac my seed will be called. Isaac is unmarried and has no children. God has told me now to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Now, God is always true. God does not lie, and God does not change his mind. The only way, therefore, that it is possible that both of those statements, that both the statement and the command are true, is if God is going to raise Isaac from the dead after I kill him. In other words, Abraham says, it's up to God to reconcile these two apparently irreconcilable statements he has made. God is able to raise the dead. And that is the persuasion that faith has. God is able to raise the dead. We read that Isaac, and of course, you know, we know what happened. In fact, God stopped him from making the offering. He didn't raise Isaac from the dead. But yet, we read here that Abraham received Isaac from the dead in a figurative sense. That is to say, he already set his mind, I will sacrifice the lamb. There's more to it than that. Because this also indicates that it is itself a figure. The Greek indicates it's a figure of the resurrection of Jesus. That Isaac's being, remember, Isaac is the only begotten son of his father. Doesn't mean that he is the only son of his father, because of course there's Ishmael. And after him, there were other sons by Keturah, who is, as it were, Abraham's second wife, after Sarah died. But he is unique. He is a special son. He is the son to whom is attached the promise. Abraham offered his only begotten son and received him back from the dead. We've heard that before. God offered his only begotten son for you and me, and raised him up from the dead for us. So faith believes that God is able to raise the dead. That is the persuasion of faith. And then we come finally to faith's forward look. Here are these patriarchs, verses 20, 21, 22, and verses 20 and 21, you have these patriarchal blessings. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Jacob blessed each of the sons of Joseph. And these patriarchal blessings look to the future. They look to what would happen to the lads in question. They looked to God's plan for these people. And then we have Joseph. When he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Now Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt, most powerful man in the land after Pharaoh. He might have had the most splendid tomb ever constructed. He might have had a tomb on the level of that of Tutankhamun, full of gold and glittering things. Instead of which, he says, don't bury the body. Keep the mummy case with the embalmed body in and take it to Israel, take it to the land when you go. Now, the word here, departure, is literally, it's the Greek word from which we get Exodus. He made mention of the Exodus long, long before, centuries before the Exodus took place. Joseph said there will be an Exodus. There they were, settled comfortably in Egypt, living off the fat of the land. And Joseph says, we're going back. And when you go back, take my body along with you, that I may be laid to rest in the land that God has promised, the land of promise. Faith looks forward and sees the fulfillment of the promise of God is yet to come. And of course, ultimately, Christian faith looks forward for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. We look forward to when God will raise up all the dead. The dead in Christ shall rise. He is the first fruits. And all those who are in Christ must be raised up with him. And so we see these pilgrim patriarchs showing us what faith is like, that faith is founded in the sure word of God. God has promised, and faith counts him faithful that he will fulfill his promise. We see faith's pilgrims looking for the celestial city as they travel through this world, and refusing to call anything in this world home, but to say, my home is my Father's house on high. We see the persuasion of faith that God is able even to raise the dead, which leads therefore to Abraham doing what God has said, because he knows that my mind cannot fully encompass all that God is able to do, but I know what God has said, and I know that all God has said is true. Now we have faith's forward look. Looking for the future, these all died in faith. And the Christian, yes, we have the answer, we have the fulfillment of faith in Jesus. And we live in a situation that theologians speak of the now and the not yet. That is to say, there is the blessings that have come in this age, but there are the blessings of the age to come. So we have received things that the people in the Old Testament did not. Christ has come, Christ has died. But we look for the new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells, and we look forward, knowing that Christ is coming again, and knowing that the age to come, the life everlasting in the age to come, is future. And so we look forward, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is faithful who promised. Amen.